This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Good afternoon. I'm Alex Degman, and this is The Rundown. President Donald Trump is scheduled to give his State of the Union address tonight. Some Democratic lawmakers say they're boycotting the speech and attending their own counter-rally. Illinois Congresswoman Delia Ramirez is one of them. She told WBEZ's Say More she would rather be with constituents than hear President Trump justify his policies.
To me, I need to be with the people that really have the power to really stand up for our communities. And certainly today, it's not in the House of Representatives. Today, it's in the halls of Congress and the halls of power.
The State of the Union address is expected to begin at 8. You can listen live on 91.5 FM, on WBEZ.org, or through the WBEZ app. The Chicago Park District is asking Springfield for $630 million amid efforts to pass a legislative package to keep the Bears in Illinois. The Park District request would aim to improve infrastructure around Soldier Field and renovate the stadium if the Bears choose to build a new one in Arlington Heights. A legislative hearing on the plan is tentatively set for Thursday. Meanwhile, in Chicago today, Governor J.B. Pritzker questioned a competing incentive package coming from Indiana that would help the team build across state lines.
I'm very interested to see how the people of Indiana feel. Do they want to raise their taxes to pay for a stadium in the state of Indiana for the Chicago Bears?
Pritzker reaffirmed his commitment to keeping the Bears in the Prairie State so long as the effort doesn't harm Illinois taxpayers. Some Chicagoans could see refunds from the city for overcharges on city stickers and parking tickets. A Cook County judge ruled the city of Chicago was liable for overcharges and interest on more than a million city sticker and parking violations that were issued between 2012 and 2022. The Sun-Times reports state law caps such fines at $250. Lawyer J.C. Zolna represents the drivers.
The city's not making any money because people can't afford these tickets, and at the same time, they're taking away people's ability to earn a living, and it's destroying people's lives in the process. So it's a lose-lose situation for everyone.
The city says it's evaluating all legal options, including an appeal. For the first time in history, two historically black colleges and universities will compete in a baseball game at Wrigley Field. Prairie View A&M and Alabama A&M will play each other in the inaugural Chicago HBCU Classic on May 2nd. The organizer, Black Baseball Media, says the game is inspired by the longstanding tradition of HBCU football classics and hopes the event draws alumni, families, and baseball fans from across the region. You're listening to The Rundown. Federal immigration agents are still in Chicago, taking people into custody, and they could return with even more force this spring. Schools are already on edge. Numerous times last fall, enforcement operations sent them into a lockdown, sowing chaos and disrupting learning. The schools hadn't dealt with anything like this before. WBEZ's Sarah Karp explains what it's been like for students and staff and what lessons were learned as they face the possibility of a spring enforcement surge.
One early September day, North Grand High School came face to face with President Trump's mass deportation campaign. Six SUVs with law enforcement agents were in a strip mall parking lot just steps from the school's campus. It was unclear who they were, but many assumed they were federal immigration agents. The principal made the quick decision to put the Northwest Side School, full of students from Mexico and Honduras and Venezuela, on what's called a lockdown. Special education teacher Mary Urban describes what happened.
Windows are shut, blinds are drawn, doors are locked, and students are instructed to stay in the area that's out of view of the windows, farthest away from the door, and to huddle together in silence.
It was just a half hour before dismissal, and the timing sent some into a frenzy. This junior says she found herself facing her worst fear.
I started texting my sister, please do not come to the school. ISIS right outside of the school. Please turn around. She didn't respond for a long time. So I started freaking out. I started to think about anything that could have happened.
For months, the student we're calling Carrie had been on high alert, desperately worried about what Trump's campaign would mean for her many family members who are not citizens. We're not using Carrie's real name to protect her family. When the lockdown ended, Carrie ran out of the building to look for her brother, who is a freshman. At first, she couldn't find him.
I thought I lost my brother. I thought I was just going to come home with just one sibling.
Eventually, friends and staff helped her locate him, and they went home together. While the lockdown was traumatic, it also gave Carrie confidence that her school could keep her safe. This North Grand incident might have been one of the first times this school year that immigration agents were in eyesight of a school, but it was not the last. Data obtained by the Sun-Times shows that hundreds of times, from September through December, principals called central office to alert officials that agents were in the area. But the set protocol for handling an outside threat? Talk to police and CPS safety and security and let the school district handle letters to parents. Suddenly felt obsolete. Principals told their union that in the moment, they were frustrated and felt like they were making it up as they went along. Chris Graves is the principal of Jordan Elementary in East Rogers Park. It's a diverse school where families have a range of immigration statuses. Early on, he developed his own system for deciding what to do.
If it's within like a mile or so of the school, we would at least start a communication chain, but we wouldn't necessarily do anything differently. Okay, they're a mile away. Kids are at recess at the park across the street. Let's let kids live their lives, but we are on high alert as adults.
But if agents were within a 5-block radius, he kept students inside for recess and brought them in if they were already out. And even though he hated to do it, a handful of times he canceled the after-school clubs that students really love. He also really stepped up communication with parents and made sure it went out faster.
Parents are already talking about it. They're hearing the whistles. They're looking out their window. So they're already saying something. And if within an hour or so, if they don't hear from me, then they start to have security concerns about their own child.
In mid-October, weeks into the enforcement operation, Chicago Public Schools opened a command center, so calls for assistance would be answered promptly. CPS also updated its guidance, saying if agents were on campuses or on the same block, the school should basically be put on lockdown. In other words, students should stay inside, and principals should use their judgment about letting people come in or out. If agents were further away, principals were told to monitor the situation. Some think it took too long for the school district to respond. CPS officials, for their part, say they're doing everything in their power to ensure that schools remain safe, welcoming environments. But immigration rights advocates and teachers say district officials should be preparing now for a possible spring surge. The teacher from North Grand, Mary Urban, says a group of staff at her school called the sanctuary team is still meeting regularly. She's hoping district officials are doing the same.
We're really going to need a strong and coordinated district response if we want to just be better about not only protecting our kids while they're at school, but also protecting our communities.
Mary Urban and others say there needs to be a reckoning about how hard it is to teach and learn under these circumstances. During all this, Urban was teaching the U.S. Constitution.
Something I observed is that students were just sad, but also angry, because every time we would look at the Bill of Rights, there was a question mark saying, well, but do I really have these rights? Doesn't seem like I do, or doesn't seem like people who look like me do right now.
She says lockdowns and good timely communication are helpful, sending the message that schools will protect students. But it's not realistic to expect school staff and students to switch from that high state of anxiety to focusing on the next chapter of Romeo and Juliet. Sarah Karp, WBZ News.
Clearing skies in our forecast overnight. Expect lows in the mid-20s, sunny for our Wednesday with highs in the mid-30s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Degman. Thanks for listening.